Hey, you guys, it's Tomes of Terror once again, my book review show. Just as on the past couple of months worth of shows, I'm kind of concentrating on a lot of horror, mostly newer horror, not always, but newer horror that's available to read for free on Kindle Unlimited, just because, you know, I went through the big pile of print books that I had, and I don't really have, you know, I don't really have the funds at the moment to, like, buy another pile of books as much as I would like to. I do have some kind of, like, older paperbacks and stuff like that that I might review at some point in the future, but I actually kind of got interested in seeing what was available on Kindle Unlimited, particularly like newer books, like well-reviewed books and stuff like that. So I've been kind of going through all the offerings there and finding some good shit, including this one. Now this book is called Six Rooms by Gemma Amore. It's pretty recent. I think it only came out in maybe like fall of 2021. Now, I had heard Gemma Amore's name before, but I had never read anything by her. She's a British author. I think she's from Bristol. And I think the book that I've heard the most about was Dear Laura, which I believe is a serial killer novel, if I'm not mistaken. She also did one called White Pines or some other ones. She's written like a lot, and she's mostly an independent author, which is good. We always like to support independent authors, so that's really cool. I'm not sure if this book, Six Rooms, was independently published or if it's just on a small press or whatever, because when I looked on Amazon, it said independently published under the thing, but then it had like a publisher name on it as well, so I'm not really sure. But again, she's mostly an independent author, and I really like to support people like that. Now, this book here kept getting recommended to me, and it's a haunted house story, so you know, you guys know how much I love those. So I thought I would pick this up and read it. And I will say, this was actually a really decent book. I like that she took the haunted house genre and did something a little bit different with it, like the way that the book is structured. It's kind of hard to explain. Well, I don't know if it's hard to explain, but it's kind of structured in the sense that it's based around like a tour of a house, and in each room, it sort of like spotlights not only one of the characters, because there's a bunch of characters, but also spotlights a flashback of like what happened at this house like a long time ago, and it kind of like ties in with the people that are in there in the present. So I'm not really sure if that makes any sense, but that's kind of the way the book is structured. The beginning of the book, in the sense of describing this house as some place that sort of like holds on to its spirits, or where the spirits like never leave, kind of gave me like a Shirley Jackson Haunting of Hill House vibe. Like I said, the original novel, not so much the Netflix series. So kind of like this house is sort of like a repository for like all these souls that, you know, once lived there or died there, and they either can't leave or choose not to. So it's almost kind of like a hungry house type of thing, which I've talked about before, a house that needs souls to survive, you know, like The Overlook and The Shining or whatever. So it's kind of like that. And I will say too that the first part of the book, like when it's during the setup, kind of reminded me, and I'm not the first person to say this because I read a couple of other reviews on Goodreads that mentioned this as well, kind of gave me a Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory kind of vibe. The original Roald Dahl story, as well as like the 1970s, you know, Gene Wilder movie, in the sense that it's this eccentric and maybe possibly sinister person leading all of these people, like this random people around this big, again, possibly sinister place, and like shenanigans ensue. So it kind of had that kind of vibe to it, which, like I said, we like that. I like that kind of angle to it. You don't really read a lot of haunted house stories that remind you of Willy Wonka, but like in a good way though. I'm just, you know what I mean? It's not wacky or anything like that, but just the setup of it reminded me of that. So what we have, the whole thing is based around this sprawling estate called the Sunshire Chateau, and it's somewhere like it's some remote location in upstate New York someplace. Now, this house, which it's not even really a house or a mansion. It's like the way that she describes it is just like this massive, like the Biltmore Estate or something like that, which is this massive structure that was just kind of built as, I guess, almost kind of like a like a paragon of like the person that built it being like just to show off their ostentatious wealth and everything. So this house was built, I think it was like the early 1900s by a wealthy industrialist named Charles Lester, who lived there with his wife Rose back in the old days. Now, Charles Lester, you find out through, you know, just some exposition, like from some of the people that are coming to the house, and also some flashbacks that come out later on, was not a nice dude, as a lot of these kind of robber baron type people back then tended not to be. You know, you can't amass that much wealth without being a bit of a dick. Although, it kind of comes, like I said, this is kind of a new book. It just came out in fall of 2021, so I don't really want to spoil too much about it. But you do kind of find out that maybe he didn't amass as much of his wealth as he liked everyone to think he did. But yeah, so, but this house, the Sunshire Chateau, is sort of like this monument to his kind of wanting to, I don't know if he like wanted to rub it in the world's face, like how rich he is. So it's like ridiculously like over the top, ridiculously ostentatious. Like everything is super expensive, and it's just kind of like everything is the best of everything. And in some ways, depending on the character that's looking at it, some of the characters are kind of like thinking it's like a little much, or it's a little tacky or whatever. Like, for example, there's one room in it where I guess the dude like decided that he was going to take this entire room, and it doesn't have any windows or anything, and he decided to like glaze the entire thing, like the walls, with blue ceramic glaze. So it's just, so the whole, like all of the walls are basically just like one big ceramic tile with no windows, so the room like constantly sweats, you know what I mean? But it's just, he wanted to do it because he could and because nobody else had done it before. So it's that kind of thing where it's all these kind of like impractical, crazy things. So in the present day, you have a group of tourists, I believe there are 8 of them, that come to the Sunshire Chateau to tour this house. Now, apparently, there's not too much of backstory about this, but apparently, every now and then, like, some tickets for tours of this house go up for sale. I'm not sure how often it is, but apparently when the tickets do go on sale, they go really fast because it's really, you know, it's kind of like everybody wants to get in there because it's so rare. So this group have gotten tickets, so they're waiting outside at the beginning to go in, and they kind of, you know, you kind of get introduced to each of them in turn. I will say that there's not a massive amount of character development. There's some, but some of the characters are kind of like given short shrift a little bit. And weirdly, a lot of them are not really given names until later on, because it's almost kind of like the point of view of the book, it's not just from one person. It jumps around, like, from character to character, depending on what's going on. So sometimes, like, if the character whose point of view you're following doesn't know what that other person's name is, they just call them something that has to do with, like, their physical appearance or how they talk or something like that. So, like, there's one guy who has a Baltimore accent, so they just call him Baltimore. And, you know, there's a kind of a prissy guy with a bow tie, and they just call him bow tie guy and stuff like that. You find out their names later on, but sometimes, like, it's kind of hard to keep track of all the characters because some of them don't have names until later on in the novel. But I do kind of feel like, I don't know, it didn't bother me that much. Like I said, although it did, I got like a couple of characters confused a couple of times, but I don't know. I think ultimately this isn't really a character study as much as it is a sort of like meditation on the house and it sort of working on the weaknesses of everybody that comes in it and like feeding on them, essentially. So it's kind of more that kind of thing. Like I said, kind of like a Hungry House type situation, you know, like Hill House or like The Overlook. So I, you know, there is some character development, but it's not at the forefront. So I will say that. Now, the way this book is structured, I don't think I've ever read another Haunted House book that's structured exactly like this. As I said, it's based around a tour of this mansion. And it kind of, so it basically goes like from room to room. And so each room has its own section of the book. And whenever, like, you know, you're in that room, like the blue room, which was the room I was talking about earlier that has all the ceramic glaze on the walls, that's like the first section. And then you're kind of focusing on the person that, you know, a person that's in that room and if they have something to do with whatever. And then it kind of like goes and jumps around from character to character as you go from room to room. Now, another thing that happens while you're going through the book is that pretty much every time somebody in the house, and there's an implication that the house is kind of either like making the people inside go mad a little bit, or it's making them kind of like forget their lives outside. So it's kind of, as I said, it's sort of like feeding on them, like it's gonna keep them, you know what I'm saying? So the longer people are in the house, you know, some of them wander off and get lost. Some of them forget where they were, how they got there, all that kind of stuff. So there's all that kind of stuff going on, too. So the house is almost like a living entity that's sort of like, you know, plucking their memories out or like playing on their weaknesses, like doing that kind of stuff. So as it goes from room to room, whoever the character is that's sort of the focus of that particular room or that focus of that particular section, normally what they will do is they will touch something, like an object in the house. And when they touch this thing, they will have a flashback of something that happened a long time ago when Charles Lester was still alive, and the horrible shit that he did inside the house that had to do with that object. So, as I said, this book is kind of new, so I don't really want to spoil too much about it, but that's kind of how it goes. So, you have the main character, essentially, who is just called, he doesn't have a name, he's just called the tour guide, and you don't find out who he is until, like, later on. And he is just he's very imperious. And he's kind of like I said, it gave me like a Willy Wonka vibe, or kind of like when you're going to the Haunted Mansion at Disney, like that kind of thing, like a combination of those two things. That's who I was picturing. So he seems very protective of the house in the sense that if you insult something about the house or you do something you're not supposed to do, he gets very, very annoyed about it. Like, for example, two of the people on the tour who don't even get to go on the tour, actually, and this happens like near the beginning of the book, but two of the women in the group are these like two old kind of like like crotchety old biddies. And when they go in the house, the first thing the tour guide tells them is, you know, you have to take your shoes off and put, you know, we have all these slippers provided for you because the floors are marble and they're like super expensive and we don't want your ass like scuffing them all up and everything. And these two little old ladies just have a fucking mutiny over taking their goddamn shoes off, and they just will not do it. And so there's this big argument happens, and then finally the tour guide like loses his shit and tells them to fuck off, and you know, so they leave, but then like the rest of the tour proceeds. But so every time you do something, if you think something is ugly in the house, like the tour guide gets really, really offended about it and all this other stuff. So I mean, pretty much, so it's kind of implied at first, I guess I can say this isn't really a spoiler. It's kind of implied at first that the tour guide is actually the ghost of Charles Lester. They hint that just because there's portraits of Charles Lester, who built the house, the industrialist, all over the place because he was like, he was like a raging narcissist, you know, so they kind of play up the resemblance between Charles Lester and the tour guide, even though I will say, too, that some of the characters that you meet in during the course of the tour are dead, but they don't really, it's interesting because some of the ghosts are just kind of like regular ass people, and then some of the ghosts are very, very clearly ghosts. Like, for example, like in the first section, which is based around the blue room, like the ceramic glazed room, it's actually the character that we're focusing on is not one of the tour group. It's actually a guy named Ned who works in the house. Like, he's cataloging all the books, like from the library. And he talks about how he's been working there and how he started seeing what was very clearly a ghost, because it looked, you know, it was this woman and she was like hanging in midair and her face was all fucked up and everything like that. So he's been, he kind of talked about that and how he almost kind of got used to seeing it. And he ends up meeting another woman who ostensibly works in the house as well, like a maid. And they kind of talk about like all the ghosts in the house and all that. So as I said, this is kind of like, the structure of this was like really, really interesting. I kind of really got into them just going from like room to room, and I really liked the way that the information like about the flashback, like what happened back in the old days with Charles Lester, I liked the way that was flashed back to. I like the way that was presented, just basically by somebody touching something in a room, like touching a cane or touching, you know, a doorstop or something like that. And it would kind of go back in time and tell you. So I like that it sort of like just gave you these little bits of information about what had happened in this house all those years ago, like why this house is so haunted. It's not real clear whether this house was haunted from the beginning, if it was a thing like, you know, like Hill House or maybe like the Overlook, where it seemed like even before the structure was built there, like this part of the, I don't know, this area of land was like some kind of vortex or I don't know. But I don't really know if the house was kind of like evil from the beginning and, you know, was kind of swallowing up all these people. I don't even know if I'd call the house evil. I guess it kind of is. But I don't know if it was that or if it was just like the bad shit that happened that Charles Lester did in the house that kind of caused the house to become that. But in the end, it doesn't really matter, I guess, like what the thing was, because like there's a not, like I said, there's not a lot of backstory. There's backstory about the shit that happened that Charles Lester did, like back in the house in the early 20th century. There's stuff about that. There's stuff about his wife, Rose, and there's stuff about why certain ghosts are still there. And that's pretty much it. And like I said, so it's kind of going back and forth from the present day to the past. And the present, they do some kind of background on some of the characters. Like there's this one family that comes there, like wife, husband, kid, and they have like a teenage son named Noah, who's kind of like your typical teenage boy. He's like, everything sucks. And he's like going around with his fucking headphones on or whatever. So it kind of goes, it goes pretty much her and Ned, the guy who works in the house. I kind of feel like they got the most significant backstories. The rest of them, not so much. The rest of them were kind of like a little bit, you know, they had like their little scenes, but they didn't really like get as much depth as those two did. But, you know, I didn't really have too much of a problem with that. So I will say that it did seem a little bit, I don't really know if there was any relation necessarily or any link between the people that came to the house, like on the tour, and the stuff that had happened there a long time ago. Like what I'm trying to say is, I don't know if it was like a Willy Wonka situation where Willy Wonka had like organized it magically or whatever for specific kids, like to come to the, you know, to come to the factory. I don't know if the house engineers it somehow that specific people come to the house so that he can, so that the house can feed on their energy, because it just seems like kind of a random thing. And like I said, I'm not sure how often this happens, because they did bring up, like when they were waiting to go into the house, one of them did bring up, you know, oh, it's really, really hard to get tickets, you know, for this, to tour this house, because it's like, it never happens. And, you know, when they come up, they always like sell out right away. So I don't know if the house is kind of like an entity in itself that's like putting out feelers and then like trying to bring in certain types of people, because it did seem to react to different people depending on what they were like. Like if the person was a shithead, then it almost seemed like the house wanted to absorb them more. But then if the person was a good person, that they still wanted them, but they, you know, the outcome was different. I guess I'll put it that way. Like I said, I'm trying not to spoil it, and it's like hard not to. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like, this seems like a kind of book where it doesn't really, I don't know if I were to say it doesn't matter if you spoil it, because it's kind of structured not really in a traditional three-act sort of way. It's kind of more, I mean, I don't know. But it's kind of like more episodic, but it does have like a through line of, you know, the tragedy that happened, you know, the back in the old days with Charles Lester and his wife and everything. So it does have that, like, kind of going through the timeline. But as far as the other stuff goes, it's kind of like just this sort of piecemeal, all these characters and their kind of like own story and them discovering certain things about the house and thinking certain things about themselves, and then them having an outcome in the house. You know, it's kind of like that. So it's really kind of a hard book to describe. I don't really think I've read anything quite like this before. There were a couple things that, I mean, I didn't, at no point was I kind of like, oh, come on, or anything like that. I mean, I really enjoyed it, even though, as I said, it's not exactly like a traditional narrative structure. It's kind of more like a series of episodes, kind of, but like with a plot through line having to do with the flashbacks. But I mean, overall, this was a pretty solid haunted house book. Like I said, it's one that had a real original take, and that's very, very hard to do, even though I love haunted house stories, even just, you know, plain Jane traditional ones. I'm just really into it if it's executed well. But this one, like, did something kind of different with the genre, and I really appreciated that. I thought it was really good. You know, very well written. There were a couple of, I guess because it's independently published, there were a couple of little grammatical errors in there, that not a lot. I mean, I've read a lot of independently published stuff, and you know, most of the stuff is some people really need some editors. This one was not bad at all. I think there was only like two or three kind of things, but one that did stick out to me, I just thought I'd bring this up. I can't remember what page it was on, but she used the word taught, taught, when she meant to use taut, taut, as in something stretched tight. So that was just something that like popped out to me, because I was like, oh, that's the wrong word. You use like the synonym there, but you know, I'm not going to get like too out of. There was a couple like that where like she used the synonym instead of the actual word. But you know, as far as independently published go, those, as I've seen like way, way worse. There was really only two or three instances where I was just kind of like, oh, well, that's not right. But you know, I'm kind of like a grammar Nazi, as you guys know. So I'm going to mention it. I'm just going to say. But overall, very well written. I will definitely be reading some more of her stuff. As I said, Dear Laura seems to be the one that a lot of people talk about. And so I was reading like on Goodreads, like some other people that have read some other stuff of hers and said that Dear Laura was probably the one, if you hadn't read anything of hers, that was a good one to start with. So I might get around to that one at some point as well. But yeah, this is a totally decent like haunted house. If you want like a haunted house, you know, Haunting of Hill House meets Willy Wonka type, I know that sounds bizarre, but like I said, it's not wacky or anything like that. It's not funny necessarily. It has like some humor in it, but it's not like a good, like comedic, you know what I mean? But it just has that kind of vibe where it's just kind of like this sinister figure, like leading someone around this house. And like I said, it kind of gave me like a Disney Haunted Mansion vibe slightly to it too, just in the sense of somebody being toured around and then like all this horrible stuff happening and like more and more of the past being revealed as they go to each room, like as you go through each section. So I thought that was like a really cool structure. But yeah, if you've read anything else by Gemma Moore, or if you've read this one and you know, you want to tell me what you thought about it, then let me know in the comments. And that will do it for this Tomes of Terror. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.